we're going to talk about Haggai, the Old Testament prophet. Haggai is the first of three post-exilic prophets in the Old Testament and is mentioned by name twice in the book of Ezra and nine times in this book. He is called the prophet and the Lord's messenger, and he may have been one of the small handful of exiles who, upon returning to resettled Jerusalem, could remember Solomon's temple before it was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar in 586 B.C. If so, Haggai would have been in his 70s or 80s at the time of this writing. This book is dated precisely as the second year of King Darius of Persia, so that was 520 B.C. The book's historical setting is important for understanding its message. In 538 B.C., King Cyrus of Persia issued a decree permitting the Jewish exiles to return to their homeland to rebuild Jerusalem and the temple in fulfillment of Isaiah and Jeremiah's prophecies. The first company of Jews to return to Jerusalem laid the foundation for the new temple in 536 B.C. with great excitement and expectation. Very soon, however, the Samaritans and other neighbors physically opposed the building project and greatly discouraged the workers. Then there was a change in the Persian king who temporarily stopped the work to the temple in 534 B.C. Discouraged, the people turned to rebuilding their own homes. In 520 B.C., Haggai, accompanied by the younger prophet Zechariah, began at God's prompting to urge Zerubbabel and the people to resume building God's house. Haggai delivered the first clear prophetic word that was heard in Judah after the Babylonian exile. And in the book, the phrase, "This is what the Lord Almighty says," occurs 29 times and underscores the urgency of the message for the remnant in Jerusalem to get to work on the temple. During a four-month period in 520 B.C., Haggai delivered four short messages recorded in his book. These messages had a twofold purpose. First, to exhort Zerubbabel, the government, and Joshua, the high priest, to get the people moving to rebuild the temple. And secondly, to motivate the people to reorder their lives and priorities so as to resume worship and following the ways of the Lord. It is important to recognize that this remnant is not like the hard-hearted rejectors of God that on prior prophets had to call to repentance constantly before the destruction of Jerusalem. Some, perhaps many, were born in exile, and the ones who lived through exile had been spared by God to be part of the remnant. In addition, many of the exiled Israelites had chosen to stay in Babylon, where many had prospered. In fact, the first thing that they did upon arriving in Jerusalem was to take up a freewill offering. According to the book of Ezra, this offering produces 1,100 pounds of gold and other valuables. It seems clear that the ones that chose to return displayed solid devotion and commitment to the Lord. So these were people to do the job, but needed strong spiritual leadership. This remnant also labored under the same old sins, though, of marrying into idolatrous neighbors. So there was also a need for a rebuke. The first message in chapter 1 starts with a challenge. Quote, is it a time for you to be living in your panel houses while the house remains ruined? Give careful thought to your ways, end quote. He goes on to say, quote, now, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go into the mountains and bring down timber and build house so I may take pleasure in being honored, end quote. God wants us to keep up the church. The church's sin was that they forgot to love God, forgot to love their fellow man, too, and follow God's direction. We should beautify God's house. We are not to live in fine houses and allow the church building to be substandard. The governor, the chief priest, and the people were galvanized, and work began in earnest. However, discouragement began to creep in as the older people and priests remember the glory of the former temple. The material was of much less quality and the foundation which was delayed or stayed when they first returned was so much smaller. But God, through Haggai, came with word of encouragement by giving them the promise that God would pour resources into the new building. The living God was to be in the midst of the new temple. The message from God was, quote, I will shake all nations, and the desired of all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, declares the Lord. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, and in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty, end quote. The third message contained blessings for a defiled people. 3 months after the temple was started, Haggai delivered the third message. And by the use of questions and answers, he showed the people their impurity. He made them realize their sinfulness and showed them that the reason for their prayers was not answered was because they had put off so long the completion of the temple. They had spoiled all they had done at the start because of their guilt. If they will renew their zeal, they would find God and he would bless them. Haggai heard their complaints of seeing no visible signs of blessings, although they had been working for full 3 months. Haggai showed them then that the land had been rendered by their useless by their neglect, but God was working it and would be different now. In this message, God says, from this day, I will bless you, and God gives when the work begins. Good question. Do we believe God and bless us if we put him unequivocally first? In his fourth message, the prophet encourages Zerubbabel, the government of God's people, by saying that one day God will destroy the power of kingdoms and nations and throughout the world. That day is the time of Jesus Christ, who will reign over all the world inhabitants. When the time came for God to shake the heavens and the earth, he would make Zerubbabel like the signet ring. This ring was the official mark of authority and pledge of favor towards God, God's people. Haggai may have been prophesying that Jesus Christ, who is a descendant of Zerubbabel, would on that day be supreme ruler who would have the absolute and universal reign supreme. May the God of peace bless you today. Good day.